Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, here we go. We've got all kinds of info coming in on the size of the naval bases here. According to 2013 on NavalTechnology.com, Naval Air Station Jacksonville, the biggest Navy base in the Southeast region, the third largest in the United States. Tony, that jibes with what you said a moment ago, right? What did you say was ahead of Norfolk?
Norfolk and then Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor. And then San Diego is fourth?
San Diego is fourth and Mayport's fifth.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Two of the top five, right, which is pretty remarkable, really. I mean, combined, we probably have the single highest naval presence of any city in the United States, wouldn't you think?
Probably.
I would imagine. I mean, how big could Pearl Harbor be? I don't know. Maybe it is. Whatever the case may be, whatever the numbers are, it doesn't really matter. Again, happy Veterans Day to all of you out there who that applies to. And do something nice for a vet today. You know what I did, or what I failed to do? And I thought about it, must have thought about it 10 times last night, but I was so up to my eyeballs in Verizon, right, that after getting done with all that, posting the audio of the segment yesterday, typing up stuff and going nuts on Twitter as I've been doing for the last 2 days, never took my tickets out of, I still have them in that season ticket envelope, got them on my bar at home.
Yeah.
Never bought my tickets in. I wanted to give my tickets away. And I'm still going to give them away. I talked to my wife yesterday. She's not going to go to the game this weekend. They live in such a little bubble in my house. You would think for a family that kind of is dependent on the National Football League for its survival, here we are, 8 games into the season. And Heather asks, are there going to be any more games this year? Like, if I don't go to this one, will I have another opportunity somewhere later on this season? Yeah, honey, you will.
Oh, the bubble we're in.
It really is. It's amazing. And she actually likes football, but God bless her soul.
I have a bunch of friends that are that way, too. It's I'm not going to get together with them and talk sports. You can see their minds wander as soon as the topic comes
up. But at least you kind of have that sense. It's November 10th, 11th, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
We haven't hit Thanksgiving yet.
It's time to crank it up.
You know, there's a lot, you know, just the calendar, where we are on the calendar should be a kind of a context clue for you. But regardless.
Is this March Madness?
No. I don't. Is the basketball tournament still going on?
That's in March.
Yes. Hence the March part right there. Although it does end in April sometimes, a lot of times, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to figure out the best way to do this because, you know, if I give them away on the air, someone's going to have to meet me somewhere over the weekend. It becomes a whole thing.
It does.
Maybe I'll just walk around and, you know, not just walk around randomly. Maybe I'll just carry them around with me, put it that way.
Yeah.
And look for someone in a military uniform. Or maybe I'll look for, like, a codger who's wearing one of those hats, you know, USS whatever, that tells you where he served. No offense to the codgers out there. I hope I get to be one day, right? So I'll find a way to get those out there. I appreciate everybody who showed interest in them yesterday. Give me the tickets. But we'll do something with those along the way. All right, happy Friday to you folks. Let's see. Tyler Devitt might want the tickets, he says. He says I can drop them off to him Sunday morning.
I can hold them if you want to give them away, because I'll be here for the pregame show on Sunday. So if someone wants to pick them up, they could do it here at 9090 Hogan Road.
That's a good idea. That is a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
Let me think about it a little bit, all right? I don't want to commit, because I do that. I put my foot in my mouth, and then I get way ahead of myself, and downhill we go. All right, today, Keys to Victory Friday, as we do every Friday here when the Jags are playing on Sunday, whether it's home or away. So we'll kind of get into the matchups with the Texans, whether or not we think Jalen Ramsey is going to shadow DeAndre Hopkins. We talked about that a little bit yesterday with Ryan O'Halloran. We'll hear from Gus Bradley today, a little bit from Nathaniel Hackett as well. And love to hear your thoughts on where the Jags stand heading into the second half of the season. You want to make any predictions on what the record's going to be in the second half of the year, how this game's going to go on Sunday, whatever the case may be. You know how to get in touch, 641-1010, both on the phone line and the text line, which is driven by Duval Ford. And, of course, our Keys to Victory always presented by our friends at the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Hit us up on Twitter at MD underscore 1010XL. at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, and the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. I will give you a Verizon update a little bit later on, but
all right.
I don't want to take away from, you know, it's more, we should more focus on the fact that it's Veterans Day, at least, to kick things off. So we'll do that a little bit later on. But you can certainly, if you're following me on social media, the updates have been plentiful, and we're still in a holding pattern. But the fight continues with those boys right now. If you'd like to get in, as I told you, 641-1010, that's the way to do it today. We are live at Everbank on this Friday, and we'll be talking Jaguar football with you for the next couple hours. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, glad you're along with us. Happy Friday morning. Happy Veterans Day to all you folks out there. We'll continue to say that and hopefully live up to it throughout, not just today, but every day. You know, nice to hear stories and see things, of stories of people. I heard the guys talking about this morning, Tony. You see people giving up their seats on planes, you know, switching from first class back to coach, things like that. Every time I travel, I think I see something like that happen, which, you know, hopefully that's a good thing that continues on no matter what time. We just don't think about those kind of things on Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and other, you know, days in which we honor the military, past, present, living, and deceased. So happy Veterans Day to all you folks out there. 641-1010 is the number. We'll get to Gus Bradley, his thoughts on the game. I know a lot of breaking it down, you know, the matchups with the Texans. He spoke yesterday. Some from Nathaniel Hackett as well. And we'll take your calls at 641-1010 throughout, looking for keys to victory. I'll give you the Verizon update a little bit later on. Let's get to Dalton down at UCF. Who might he be calling in about down at UCF? Good morning, Dalton. How are you?
Jaguars today. What's going on, boys?
Woo! What is up, Dalton? Woo! How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man. I'm so fired up right now. I'll never get to call you guys. I'm always at work. And well, I got today off because of Veterans Day. That's also my birthday today.
Happy birthday, brother. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Are you a veteran?
I'm not a veteran. I'm only 23. I'm just a college student, man.
Well, that's cool, man. Hey, look, you know, no problem. Happy birthday. What can we do for you this morning?
Yeah, man. I'm just fired up. Fired up about the Jaguars. You know, we got a lot of people are down on these guys, but you know, I've always appreciated them. You know, they stressed me out a little bit, but we have two more wins than 99% of other American cities, so I think we're doing all right now. But
okay,
you know,
that is a positive spin on the situation, no question about it. Yes,
but yeah, last week I responded to a, you know, fan feedback kind of spotlight kind of question, and you guys were a little confused on my response. Basically, I said that, you know, we could try to set up the vertical run game by kind of rolling Bortles out a little bit. And my knowledge of that is just because before that last game, we really weren't doing anything well in offense until we actually started running the ball. But there's one thing that that's been driving me nuts that we haven't been trying out is just because, you know, Bortles, you see his numbers, he does so well outside of the pocket. You know, I just don't understand why, you know, if there's anything that we do good, you know, right now, it's maybe, you know, rolling Bortles out of the pocket. So I didn't know if there's any way, like, maybe on the first drive, if you were to set up maybe a couple play actions and try to get him to roll out, and if you get some completions through that, maybe that'll help set up that running back dive up the, you know, in between the center and the guard. You know, I didn't know if that makes any sense or if you had
no,
to.
No, I know what you're talking about. Listen, I think you know, a couple of things. Last week was the first time they really ran the ball really effectively. I mean, you know, we tried to make the Indy game into like, ooh, they hit 100 between the two backs, Tony. Ooh. You know, and it was solid, but it wasn't spectacular. I think that play action where you freeze the linebackers for that half second and you roll the quarterback, and when you start doing that on the first drive of the game, if they come into the game not respecting your ability to run the football against them, I don't know how much that does. And, you know, to benefit you, certainly Blake has made some big plays out of the pocket. You can't make your entire living outside the pocket. And I think one of the reasons that we just don't see it on a more consistent basis is we've talked about once you're rolling out right, let's say, you're cutting down your options, right? And now sometimes it's better to simplify part of the field or your reads for your quarterback, but it also makes things easier for the defense to some degree.
Sure.
You know, because you don't have the threat of him coming to the backside. Look, I don't know. Play calling is such a funny thing. when it's working, it's working. I'm sure they're aware of his success rate outside the pocket. You know, I can't tell you exactly why and what percentage they roll him out and why they don't do it more. He has had some success. Some of that's been on broken plays, though, too, out of the pocket.
No doubt.
Think about all the big plays he hit last year, kind of scrambling around.
Look, I think you saw it last week a little bit. They got the run game going, the play action. He was rolling out a little bit more effectively. Now, look, Blake needs to be more accurate in those situations still, and I think that's part of the reason the offense only scored 14 points is I still don't think – it's not like the running game got going and everything was fixed with Blake Bortles. And so I think it looked like he was more comfortable with what they were doing in the offense because the run game was working last week. You hope that if they can get it going for a second week in a row, he starts to get more and more comfortable and we start seeing a little bit more of the guy that we saw in 2015 as a quarterback for this Jaguars team. And maybe that will be the case, but – I think that Nate Hackett did a really good job last week, and I know people are saying, "Well, he's playing that Kansas City team without Justin Houston." Well, they haven't had Houston all year,
right? Really, most of last year.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, look, they've been a fine run defense without Justin Houston at this point this year. They've been okay. They got torched by the Jags, who have torched nobody really for the past 3 years in that run game. So, look, I think it was a good sign. I'm curious to see if they can stack it up, and if they run the ball effectively, then yeah. Bootleg's going to be a part of this offense, but you have to run the ball effectively for it to be.
And look, I'm happy because Dalton's a young guy who's very eager and enthused about this football team, right? And I get the connection, Blake Bortles, UCF students, and all that. And I hope that affection and affinity for the team lasts beyond that bond, that it's not just predicated on that bond. But, I'm sure the Jags would take 70,000 more of that ilk who had the attitude of, hey, we got two more wins than 99% of America, right? I mean, that's the truth. You do. And if you want the positive spin of the week, that was certainly it, Dalton. We appreciate you, man. I remember that submission you had about the vertical running game, as a matter of fact. So thanks for the call this morning, and happy birthday once again. Let's get Joe Cab downtown checking in here on Jaguars today. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Veterans Day to everyone.
Same to you, sir.
I was wondering, now that we got Trump in the office, could he make my team great again, at least make my quarterback good again? And if he can,
I would vote for anyone who could do that here. I don't know if it's going to come from the political realm, but he did own the New Jersey Generals, Tony.
He
so,
did.
You know, they had some pretty good success in the USFL.
We got to try something. We done brought in social coaches, all that. So now we got to try something.
Okay. Is that it? Was that your whole shtick?
That's it.
More?
We didn't try anything but that. So let's try that.
All right. Thank you, Joe. I don't know what he thinks the president-elect will be able to do directly for this team, or he did. I believe he said when he came on one of his first visits to
Jacksonville. Great place. How's your football team going to be? Good. I hear good things.
He must be listening to
great
Dalton.
Sources.
He must be listening to Dalton calling the Jaguars today. Goodness. I hear you're more successful than 99% of America when it comes to this professional football thing.
That's great.
So there you have it. All right, 641-1010. Let's turn our attention to Gus Bradley from yesterday. By the way, Paul Fraze, former Jaguar defensive lineman, going to join us. He is running in the Seattle Marathon later on this month. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. And talk about, you know, a lot of people know the story, his son passing away. He's raising money to fight the disease that claimed his life. So we'll talk to Paul. He's going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. A really good guy who has obviously made Jacksonville his home after playing for the Jags. And he's got a pretty cool thing going on to raise some money. So he'd like your support in that. And we're happy to support anybody in the Jaguars community that does charitable work. So Paul's going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. Let's get to Gus. A little quick recap. We don't want to dwell on this. Just final thoughts on the Kansas City loss.
You know, we still had our chance, even with all those turnovers, to have the ball in a situation like we did. We could go down and score and get the win. I think
which is really impressive.
Yeah, it just really hit the team more, just how important it is to be on the plus side of that turnover ratio.
This is from, the Gus Bradley show last night. That's why you heard Big Logs interject right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I think Logman had to fill in for both hours last night. Baselli I think was on the call.
Bassani just
doing
the Westwood
Thursday
One
game,
broadcast.
Yeah.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I heard a promo. I forget who was doing the play-by-play. Join me in Tony Bassani. So there you have it. Yeah, I'm sure. Cleveland, Baltimore. Who are we going to get for this one?
Ooh.
Let's call Bassani.
Ooh.
He'll do it.
The Gus Bradley Show last night, Jeff Logman sitting down with the Jaguars head coach, also talked a little bit about just the play calling, the differences they saw with Nate Hackett last week.
We had a good plan offensively going into the game. Again, you saw chances where it was off schedule, and that by what I mean is that if we had a good run, we followed up with another good run.
And sometimes the same exact run.
Yeah, you know, so I think that gets the defense off schedule a little bit. And, you know, I think for the offensive line, too, it takes pressure off of them. If they're going to throw on the ball, if we're going to throw the ball 45 times and the defensive line can pin their ears back, that puts a lot of pressure on the offensive line. So that balance is so important, and I thought that we really tried to stick to that.
All right, they were able to do that. I mean, looked at, you know, the points weren't there, but they did have – success moving the football throughout the game without the turnovers, Tony. Who knows what kind of game this could have been? It could have been an easy win for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but it wasn't. Gus said the offense had a good flow with Nathaniel Hackett.
You know, I just think that the flow, there was good rhythm to the plays. I think the offense really felt it. It allowed the quarterback, Blake, to get in a good rhythm. And then we had opportunities. We just had a couple plays that were off the fingertips. And, you know, that fourth and one, you know, had an opportunity there. So there were plays to be made out there in that game. We just didn't make enough of them. And then the turnovers. You know, it sounds like a broken record already in our conversation. But that was such a big part of that game.
No doubt it was. I mean, that's the one thing you can circle that the Jaguars really didn't do well in that game against Kansas City. It cost them the game. There's a magical missing yard in that game for the Jaguars, and if it was there, maybe everything is completely different with that call down on the goal line. Gus Bradley on the Gus Bradley Show last night talking about Blake Bortles. Again, a new offensive coordinator for him. They're still basically running the same system, but Jeff asked him if Blake is comfortable with what they're doing in the offense right now.
If you talk to Blake, he felt really comfortable in the style of offense. I think that, you know, he always will look at and wish he had a couple of throws back. But just overall, how he felt coming out of the game, obviously we lost. That wasn't, that was the part that was disappointing. But then when you break down the game and get a chance to really analyze it, just felt like he had a chance to get into some rhythm, could see some receivers and the routes that they run. They're very precise. And just the overall flow of it. So now we have another couple of days of practice like we have. Let's add to it, you know, build on what we had last week and rise above where we were.
All right, we'll get to more of Gus Bradley coming up. Let's turn our attention a little bit here to Nathaniel Hackett, as well as I find him a fun guy to listen to. He spoke yesterday morning. As a matter of fact, we talked with Ryan O'Halloran immediately after he attended his press conference. But here are a few of the things that Hackett had to say, starting with the defensive side of the ball for the Houston Texans. Obviously, that's what he's watching on tape. No J.J. Watt, but they can still bring it against the pass, and he talked about particularly the Texans' pass rush.
You do every single thing you can to obstruct it. I mean, you have to be creative. You know, they're devastating. I mean, they are very, very good up front, especially on third down when they know it's a passing situation. That's what they thrive on. So I think that you just have to find creative ways to take that excitement out of their sails, the wind out of their sails.
You know, Tony, Whitney Mercilus had the huge game in the second. Was it like 3.5, was it? Three and a half?
Something like that, yeah.
I think he had 5 total against Jacksonville on the year, which was a big percentage of his season-long total. That they could not handle him last year, particularly the second time around. So you wonder how much of that is because J.J. Watt's presence out there, and, you know, you're paying attention, and that opens things up for guys like that. But Jadeveon Clowney, not playing to the level of J.J. Watt in the past, but certainly stepped up his game so far this year.
No, he's been much better this year, really kind of coming into his own a little bit there in that Texans defense, which, as we mentioned earlier, not very good against the run, but 5th overall in the league in yardage given up. They're giving up about 21 points a game, I think, to this point this season. The Jags, by the way, in that same kind of stat, it was 28 points a game last year. They're basically a point better this year. They're giving up 27 points a game. So as much as it feels like the defense has improved, They're 1 point better in that stat right now than they were last year. Another comment here from offensive coordinator Nate Hackett talked about the success of running an 11 personnel meeting when they have one tight end and one running back with three wide receivers on the field.
The 11 run games always is unique because you always have the potential to get a closed coverage and another guy put in the box. And it's kind of, are you going to throw? Are you going to do a read option? Are you going to just hand it off and give that guy to the back? I think it's about letting the guys know where your deficiency is in the 11 run game. Whether you're going to put it on the back, whether you're going to put it on the quarterback from a run read option or run pass option. So I think that as long as you kind of cover your bases and keep the angles the same for the line that gives them an advantage, you're always going to be able to move the ball in the 11 run game. But that was kind of the key that we wanted to do last week. We wanted to really attack different ways in the 11 package, not just one run, one specific thing, and then get to a full-on pass. We wanted to kind of make it all encompassing so we could just call and run it. I mean, I think that was the big thing last week was 11 in our 12 personnel and all that kind of stuff. We just wanted to have some situations that we just call a run and let those guys go to work and let them understand what they're going to be facing and let them go battle the guy in front of them.
Obviously, it's not that complicated. As you just explained what the 11 personnel is, a lot of, you know, even casual fans are picked up on some of that terminology. It's just so funny in one answer. The 11 run game. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard it phrased like that. You know what I mean? I mean, we understand 11 personnel, but the 11 run game, he said it three different times, and he also went with the 11 package there. And it is kind of interesting, I think, how the National Football League likes to create that language for how, you know, the different things are described, and this just gives you that kind of insider feel to it. Hackett talked about the importance of this team, which is something they did pretty well, particularly with the run game last week, and winning on first down.
You always have to win on first down. I mean, every single play, you always want to have it be positive. You know, we tell the guys 4 yards every play. If you get 4 yards every single play and just keep your mindset there, the big plays will come, and we'll keep moving the chains every time you do that. And I think if you don't want to look too much at the beginning to the end, you just got to take each situation as it happens because you never know what's going to happen on each down.
One last comment here from offensive coordinator Nate Hackett speaking to the media yesterday, and we heard Ryan O'Halloran when he rejoined us talking about this one a little bit, but the big run for Chris Ivory down that sideline running over the safety, Hackett talked a little bit about seeing his running back run over a defender.
I get a little emotional. I get really excited. I mean, that's what this game's about. I mean, it's a fun and exciting game that's got a lot of impacts on it. You know, it's about another guy beating the next guy in front of him. And when that happens, I mean, you want to try to get him in that position as much as possible.
Sounds like you want to try to come off the bench and throw a block for him, too. I don't know if he needed one on that particular play. All right, a little bit from Nathaniel Hackett right there as we head towards Jags-Texans Week 10 in the National Football League. Former Jaguar Paul Fraiz, I guess once a Jag, always a Jag, right? He will join us next to tell us about his mission to raise money to eradicate a disease, and that's coming up next here, and we'll also get his take on the state of Jaguar football. It's Jaguars Today. We're live at Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank here, Jaguars Today on this Friday, and if it's Jaguar-related, we're going to talk about it on this program, and Paul Fraiz, one of the good guys out there in this community, former Jaguar, 11-year NFL veteran, nice career here in Jacksonville. And you may also know the story of his son, Joshua, which I'm sure Paul can speak to light years better than I could ever, but was born with myotubular myopathy, which is a muscle disorder, and he passed away at a young age. But Paul is continuing the fight to help other families who are afflicted with a diagnosis with this. So let's welcome him in, part of the Jaguar family now and forever, Paul Fraiz. Good morning, Paul. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Great to be here. How are you?
Very well, man. Tony and I are happy to talk to you, and we're looking forward, hopefully, to getting you in here before you head up to Seattle. You got a big event. For folks who don't know the story of your family and the impact that this disease had on your son, Joshua, and your family in its entirety, can you give us just a quick synopsis for folks who may not have heard this story before?
Absolutely, 30 seconds or less. So Joshua was born in 1995 with a very rare muscle disorder. When he was born, he was one of 55 known cases in the world. So obviously there was not any research dollars going for research. My wife, being a never take no for an answer New Yorker, said, we got to use your platform, the NFL, to raise money and awareness. And she was able to raise over $6 million. We now know that there's about 8,000 kids out there with MTM. Only 50% of these kids make it to their second birthday. We were very blessed. Joshua was with us the 40-day shy of his 16th birthday. He was a National Honor Society student at Ponte Vedra High. And, man, it's been an incredible journey, and we believe we have a cure. So we still continue to raise money for research and to push this across the finish line.
What a great story his life was. What a great testament to perseverance and spirit and all those things, Paul, because there's no way you thought you were going to get 16 wonderful years out of life, right? I mean, that was not the diagnosis from a very early age, right?
Exactly. You literally have some of the best doctors in the world telling you, look, I mean, the day he was born, they told us he might not make it through the day. And then they said, well, maybe a couple of weeks. And then they said, well, okay, we've diagnosed it. It's myotuberous myopathy, 50% chance to make it to a second birthday. And then, you know, we just feel that there was a purpose for Joshua's life much greater than we can ever imagine. And we know that his legacy, we truly believe his legacy will be that of a cure for his peers. And that's why we push so hard to continue to support research. And these kids are amazing. They powerfully impact anybody who takes the time to get to know them. And, you know, we found that across many disabilities. You can empathize once you've lived and walked a mile in their shoes. You can empathize and understand, hey, these kids have so much to offer. So it's been an incredible journey, and we're so close to the finish line. And obviously, thank you guys for allowing me to kind of shout it from the rooftops. You know, get involved in any way you can. So,
Paul, talk a little bit about, you know, this 20 years, and it sounds like y'all are very hopeful that maybe you have found a breakthrough where this will be a thing potentially of the past in the very near future. But just talk about the last 20 years and kind of the ups and downs of dealing with a disease like this and trying to break through.
Well, you talk about 20 years, and it sounds like such a short time, just like the Jaguars were just coming into town, 21 years ago. But, you know, when you get immersed into medical science and research, and your son, I mean, at 3 years old, we were calling the doctor, our doctor at Harvard, who we were supporting research for. He was at a conference in England, and I'm begging, you know, we're at Wolfson's losing Joshua, and I'm begging Harvard to put me through to him in England, and I get through. And I'm like, doctor, is there anything you've been able to do? You know, we were able to help support research. Have you found anything yet? And you can tell he was so exasperated. He had to get so hard with me and say, look, no, there's nothing yet. You need to go and enjoy your son. And you get to the point where you really have to take into consideration that science is a long, slow, arduous process. But when the last 6 or 7 years, we can literally tell people that their money is going to be going to saving lives. The first 12 years, it was, hey, we have a dream, we have a hope, you know, please invest in our dream. Now we can say your ROI is going to be that of saving lives.
That's pretty cool, man. Paul Fraze here with us on Jaguars today. So tell us now, first of all, you're a healthy guy, right? What did you play at? What was your playing weight when you were in the National Football League?
Well, here in Jacksonville with Tom Coughlin as my coach and 105 heat index, it was about 267 pounds.
So, all right.
No, I joke around. When I started my very first game, I was with the New York Jets for 7 years, and I got drafted in 88. I was 265 pounds. I played at about 272, and I started at nose tackle at 272, and I was a run stopper. So, you know, times have changed. I mean, 325 is probably about the minimum. But, yeah, I had to drop a lot of weight. In fact, I'm trying to lose 5 more pounds before I try to do this thing on November 27th in Seattle.
This thing happens to be called a marathon, right? You're going to run the Seattle Marathon. Have you done marathons before? I know you're quite the runner now, but
I always wanted to do a marathon. I figured once I got past 50 and I had not run one, it was way too late. But last year, so one of Joshua's peers lives up in the family lives up in Chicago. And the uncle called me and said, hey, we get 10 bibs for the Chicago Marathon. And I literally had just turned 50 about 4 months before. And I'm like, well, I better start writing a book. Don't wait until you're 50 to run your first marathon. So I did run. I finished 5 minutes before they officially closed the course, and that's the only reason I'm running again, is because my time was so horrible. But after that race, a friend of mine said, look, anybody can run for 2.5 hours. It takes a real man or a real woman to run for almost 6 hours. So I kind of, you know, stick that feather in my cap. But no, I want to run this one at about 4.5. We'll see. Keep your fingers crossed, light a candle, say a prayer, whatever you do, and we'll see what happens. But most importantly, you know, the cause, we're still funding research. It's real simple. We've made it real simple. Go to pleasedonate.org. Pleasedonate.org. That takes you to the link of the Joshua Fraze Foundation. You can learn all about us, who we are, what we've done in research. And then there's a link there that takes you to the Seattle Marathon. And do what you can.
So you're looking basically for like a kind of like pledge for mile or just a flat donation, whatever people are able to do, right?
Absolutely. Flat donation, 5, 10, 25 bucks. I've got a buddy that gave me a pledge per mile. He gave me a little inspiration. He said, you do it under 4.5, I'll give you 100 bucks a mile. You do it, you know, 4:31, it'll drop to 50. So I'm like, okay, I better get running.
You better get on your horse, buddy.
That's right. Well, yeah, that's a lot of money on the line. So
that is a good amount. I'll tell you what, man, hopefully you have time and we can find a time mutually convenient for both of us for you to come in and not just you know, remind people about this, but talk a little Jaguar football with us next week. But
yeah, do you live within 20 miles of the stadium?
Yeah, you can just jog on over.
Yeah.
Part of your training, man. But Tony and I, on behalf, and Tyler, on behalf of Jaguars today, we'd like to pledge $100 to you. So you're going to have to run down here and collect it when you come in sometime next week or whenever. You know, if you can't make it in beforehand, that pledge is still good, Paul.
Well, you guys are awesome.
Yeah. Well, no, bro, come on. All we do is stroke a little tiny check, man. You're going out there. You're going all over the country. This isn't something that you just said is going to affect me, and I'm going to be, you know, selfish about how I deal with this. You're trying to make your son have a lasting legacy, and it looks like he's going to have a great one. And so it's just a pretty phenomenal story. And we've got your PSA. It's been posted. It's been pinned to the top of our Facebook page ever since we found out about it. People can go to the Jaguars Today Facebook page. It's the first thing you're going to find on there, and you'll see Paul telling you know, the story, a few more details. But again, pleasedonate.org is the site. It's the 27th of this month, so get on your horse. Don't wait till the last second and make a pledge, make a donation outright to help Paul and all the others who are trying to fight myotubular myopathy. That's going to be a great thing for you to accomplish, Paul. I'm sure. I have a feeling there'll be a little wind at your back in this one, and 4:30 won't be any issue for you. Before we let you go today, quick thought on where we stand with the state of the Jaguars. If I just leave it an open canvas for you, what are you going to say?
Oh, you always look back at 96 and know that we had to win 7 in a row, I think, to eke into the playoffs. So you always hope, dream, wish, you know. You know, in the NFL, every game, well, 98% of the games are decided by 3 to 6 plays. You know, if you make mistakes and drop the ball or you get a bad call against you, it's going to have an effect. So you got to protect the ball. I could throw a few Coughlinisms at you, but you know, hey, go Jaguars. We need a win. Upset these guys. You know, you're not supposed to win, but make it close. Upset them. Stay in the games. You know, stop the mistakes, and let's see where we end up. The NFL is awesome. It's exciting. But, man, you got to win. You got to win.
I hear you, brother. You've been through both ends of it, and winning is so much better. We all agree on that one, Paul. You're a winner, man, and with the mission that you're on, you're going to win this one as well. And we congratulate you on your continued fight, and we encourage everybody in our listening audience to share this story with as many people as they can. Go to pleasedonate.org and do what you can. Even if it's $5, trust me, it adds up. So whatever you can do within your wherewithal, support Paul Fraze and the Jaguar community and, you know, help eradicate just an absolutely terrible, devastating disease. Paul, we appreciate it, buddy. We are glad you could take a few minutes out. And seriously, let's coordinate and get you in here if we possibly can in between your training runs sometime maybe next week, all right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. You guys are great. Keep up the great work.
Anytime, brother. All right, there he goes, Paul Fraze, good Jaguar and a good citizen here in the Jacksonville community, has made this town his home. And he went from being an undersized defensive tackle, Tony, to just a normal-sized human being. You know, he's one of those guys. I mean, Don Davey, there's some guys that you're like, wow, the before and after is pretty shocking what they've been able to do. Even Big Bo this year really gotten slimmed down. So it's not the healthiest way to go through life, being built like you need to be to withstand the rigors of playing line play in the National Football League. So thank you to Paul. Again, pleasedonate.org for all the more details there. And, Paul, come on by and collect that donation. Coming up next week. All right, we'll take a timeout here. We will come back and give you this date in football history, the Honda Drive around the NFL. Still got a Verizon customer service update to come. More from Gus Bradley. We'll take your calls if you're so inclined at 641-1010. It's Jaguars Today. We're live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this day in football history brought to you all week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. November 11th, we go back to 1990. What did Kansas City linebacker Derek Thomas do in 1990, Tony, on this date?
He had 7 sacks.
That is correct, sir. What else would I be asking about? He set an NFL record with 7 sacks in that game, but Seattle quarterback Dave Craig somehow eluded his grasp to throw a 25-yard game-winning touchdown pass in the closing seconds as the Seahawks knocked off the Chiefs 17-16 despite a 7-sack performance. How many points did he score you in your individual defensive player fantasy leagues?
I'm not sure.
I don't know if they had those
back
then.
What year was that?
That was 1990.
Yeah, that was around when I was coming into like watching any football. I feel like I remember watching that game and not knowing what was going on, but my dad's like, this guy's unbelievable.
You know, that was in the midst of my college days when I wasn't paying as much attention to the National Football League as I might have otherwise. I was more into the college basketball scene and other things at that point
sure.
in time. Famous birthdays for this date. Former Jaguar offensive coordinator, now the current offensive coordinator for the Oakland Raiders, that would be Bill Musgrave. Happy birthday to Bill. Bill always does. I guess he just always looked a lot older than me. I look at Bill and I say, oh, he's 49, huh? Seems like a young fella now to me. Bill Musgrave was the OC here in 2003-2004, born on this date in 1967. A couple of guys born on this date in 1986. We've got the Latin dancing Victor Cruz of the New York Giants, and we have the butt fumbling Mark Sanchez, formerly of the New York Jets. So you've got those two, and also former Jaguar legend, return man, specialist, extraordinaire, pride of South Carolina, Ace Sanders. Happy birthday, 25 years young. What is Ace Sanders doing right now? I've got no idea.
No idea.
Ace, if you're out there, shout out to Ace Sanders. Don't know. Hello. How are you? This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're right here in town, conveniently located on Gate Parkway. And basically any of your dental needs, from family dentistry, cosmetic work, and everything in between, certified Invisalign provider. They've got the SomnaMed custom fit mouth guard to help you or a loved one stop snoring. Check out all of their comprehensive care services at jamesjmccall.com or give them a call at 620-9225. That was this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Seattle's Richard Sherman has been fined just over $9,000 for his hit on Buffalo kicker Dan Carpenter on Monday Night Football. The play did not draw a flag during the game, but afterwards Dean Blandino, the head of the NFL's officiating, did say it should have been. Commissioner Roger Goodell spoke yesterday at a New York Times conference and talked about a couple issues relating to the league right now. He said that he does not believe that having full-time officials would significantly help the league's officiating issues, and said that it would, quote, not eliminate the human element out of the game. No duh, no one is advocating for cyborg officials, Raj. Goodell also said that the league is considering cutting some advertising as they try to figure out why ratings are dipping this season and considering their options on how to respond to that dip. Pittsburgh's Ladarius Green, the tight end, expected to make his debut with the Steelers on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. Washington wide receiver DeSean Jackson expected to miss this weekend's game as he deals with a rotator cuff injury. And Washington head coach Jay Gruden said yesterday that Robert Kelly is the skin starting running back and that Chris Thompson will be the second back, emphasizing that the third running back spot will be determined based on what help they need on special teams. indicating that Matt Jones, who was the starter just 3 weeks ago, could be a healthy and active scratch this week in the Washington backfield.
Scratch in the backfield.
Yeah.
It's a long, precipitous fall there, by the way. Chris Thompson back there doing very well. Rob Kelly, for you fantasy owners out there that need a kind of a plug-and-play.
Yeah.
Not exactly a high-end option, Tony. I think he's going to be very touchdown-dependent for Washington the rest of the way because Thompson's going to gobble up most of the receptions out of that backfield.
No doubt.
Nonetheless, there you have it. This Dayton football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. I suppose we can take this moment. I'll give you the quick Verizon update on where things stand.
All right.
I've been overwhelmed by how many people have I've posted so many things on social media over the last 48 hours. I warned you, if you didn't want to hear about it, to drop me or to block me or to do something or to ignore me for a few days or however long it may last, and it may last a while. Quick update after the first day where Verizon told me there's absolutely nothing they can do. To recap, they tried to charge me for 45 gigs of data that I was able to demonstrate through testimony from the app provider that they said was in question, that it was literally impossible to run up more than about a tenth of that if I ran that app nonstop for 30 days. And they claimed I ran it, that I ran up 45 gigs of overage data.
It would take 11 months.
My phone bill is about $900.
Yeah, it would take 11 months, basically, the app told you to get that kind of data usage.
If I ran it nonstop, yeah. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which I did not do. And, in fact, they confirmed that I hadn't used it to book a tee time since July. So, anyway, nothing I could do. Nothing they could do for me. Both after 90 minutes on the phone with the customer service rep and his supervisor, after many exchanges back and forth and Twitter on direct messaging with Verizon customer service. Sorry, sir, nothing we can do. Right. So the whole first day was that. Oh, then start going nuts on them on social media and other people pick it up and start saying, hey, you know what happened to me? I mean, it's overwhelming how many people say they've been hit with phantom overage charges from Verizon. So it happened to me. Keep up the good fight. All these things people start retweeting. I'm dropping Verizon. I'm never going to Verizon. They took notice. So they tried to call me during the show yesterday, despite the fact that I told them I'm not available during these hours. They really don't have their act together. Anyway, longer story, shorter. I got on the phone with the Verizon rep yesterday, and after being told there's nothing they can do for me, she quickly offered me 30% discount on my bill.
Oh, that's a lot of nothing.
It's a lot of nothing. Nope, that's not what I'm looking for. Thank you very much. 2 minutes later, 50% off, sir, is what I can offer you on your bill. Nope. Not. Why would I pay you half of what I don't owe you? I'm not going to pay you anything. Zero. And that includes now the base bill that you claim I owe you for my basic cellular service, even if I didn't use any data for the month. So, sir, what I can do for you is I can offer you a $500 credit. No. That's not what I'm looking for. That's, you know, just slightly more than the 50%. So that was basically the end of the conversation. I said, no, I'm sorry. I owe you $0. And until someone is willing to tell me I owe you $0, I don't really have anything else to say to you. We go our separate ways. Someone calls about 30 minutes later. Sir, it indicates here that you wanted a Verizon customer service rep to call you. Really?
Oh, the communication.
You've got it really going on there. So I go through the whole thing.
Like, have a file,
a log,
or something?
Something. Yes, we contacted him. Here's where it stands
right now.
When you call
these people, doesn't it say we record this for
they
quality
always,
assurance?
Every single one of them. They record you for cover their ass insurance is what they do. But nevertheless, I go through the whole story with her. And because I forgot to do it the first time with the first lady, I said, you know what? Do you run Verizon? She said, no, I don't run Verizon. No, sir. I said, okay, well, someone does. So that means you have a boss. I'd like to speak to them because I got to get somebody on the phone who is able to authorize what I'm looking for from your multi-billion dollar corporation that's trying to gouge me for $900 that I don't owe you. So would you like me to have my boss call you back? What's a good time? I said, well, after thinking about it, I didn't know exactly where I'd be most of the afternoon. I said, after 8 o'clock tonight would be fine because I have a show from 6 to 8. So after that. But I don't want anyone to call me unless they're prepared to tell me I owe you $0. About 90 minutes later, I get a call. I presume it's from the boss, even though it's not after 8 p.m. I take the call. See here, you spoke with whatever her name was, the rep, earlier today, and blah, 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 and I'm here to resolve your issue. Are you here to tell me I owe you nothing? No. You are not here to resolve my issue. Sir, I'm trying to help you, blah, 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 blah. At some point, she admits, you know, these chargers are absolutely ridiculous. Those are her words. The Verizon person says they're absolutely ridiculous. I said, aha, progress. You're correct. Yet here you've been arguing with me about these. Well, sir, we're prepared to drop all overage charges for you. Okay, so you've gone from can't do anything to 30% to 50% to $500 to entirely drop all the overage charges. I said, not good enough. She said, you're not being reasonable. I said, I'm not being reasonable. You put me through the ringer. I said, if you had offered this to me in the beginning when I was able to demonstrate that I could not have run up these charges and just said, you know what, sir, you're absolutely right. We're sorry. Loyal customer for years. Always pay your bill on time. We're going to wipe out the overage. We would have been fine. I'd still be a Verizon customer today. But that's not good enough. So sorry, you're declining my offer. I said, lady, you're checking off a box on a list. You're reading down your sheet. And because I've heard the phrase set you up for success now, every single person. I'm sure that's one of your top line items that you have to tell people
to call
in.
Probably in 40 font at the top of the page in front of them.
Use this phrase. It soothes the savage beast. Set you up for success. Well, it's not soothing me. And, you know, so, sir, are you declining my offer? I said, wait, I'm not declining or accepting anything. I told you, I'm not negotiating with you. You can take money off my bill all you like. But the bottom line is I will not be satisfied until someone at Verizon tells me I owe you $0 because now you have wasted 2 days of my time, all kinds of aggravation, never mind the fact that I was a loyal customer for years. So do you want my boss to call you? Yeah, if they're willing to tell me I owe you $0. Mm. I mean, what are you not getting in this conversation? And so then I get a message from Verizon on instant message or on direct message. Mike, we completely understand your concerns surrounding the data overage. Management is reviewing your account and the usage. We will contact you tomorrow with a resolution. Thank you. Well, what's your resolution? Unless your resolution is $0, it's not a resolution that I'm going to accept from you. So I told him, I'm going to fight. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. Because now, if you're willing to waive the overage, the bill for last month and this month, which you already claim I'm 12 gigs over in, now it's 5 days, but it was after 3 days. I have a 6-gig plan for a month, and they claimed I used 18 gigs in 3 days. I'm like, you know, no, $0. It's now down to about $200. My cell bill somewhere, maybe it's 250, let's call it, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to tell me you can't wipe that. We're not allowed to do that, sir. You use cellular service. I know. You're absolutely right about that, but you can do that. You're a multi-billion dollar corporation. I know you can do that because yesterday you told me you couldn't do anything, and then I went through varying levels of offers from you on what you actually could do. So you lied to me when you said you couldn't do anything, and I don't believe you. I don't trust you. I said T-Mobile is running the contest. They'll give you 12 months free service for the worst 12 horror stories of Verizon ripping people off on overage charges. I said, this is a known thing. It's a known thing out there that your company are a bunch of thieves and you're stealing money. And I said, it's not you personally. I made sure I told them all. It's not you personally. It's you. When I say you, I mean the company. So who knows if they're going to reach me with a, quote, resolution or not. But until then, I continue to fight the fight. Because, Tony, if I were just Joe Blow, and I'm not that I'm anyone special, but I happen to have an audience that I can get the word out to. And people have taken up the cause with me on social media and spread the word. And if it weren't for that, I don't think I would have gotten anything other than tough luck. We can't do anything for you. So for everyone out there who got stuck by Verizon, I'm going to fight until every penny is off that bill. And I told you, it is such an incredibly bad business decision. I have cost you a bunch of money. Again, I told you, I got a friend in Chicago, 7 lines. He went into the store. He said, I'm ready to get my wife a new phone, but we're calling customer service and we're going to go on the record. Unless Mike's situation is revolved, this guy in Chicago, the guy thought he was crazy. I'm not doing any more business with you. It's $400 a month. That's just one person. He's ready. I mean, it's just so dumb. Just wipe out the bill. Do the right thing. It's become a point of principle now that anyway, it's you can go read about it. It's on my personal Facebook page, all the details in there. And we posted the audio yesterday of the whole saga. So that's it for today. Verizon, you still suck. Your customer service is even worse. They're beyond. They're just so incompetent. They don't communicate with each other. And I'm sure if I do get reached today for a quote resolution, they're going to say, "Sir, let's see what we can do to, you know, no, just I'll have to go through all the steps again, because each person I've gotten on the phone with, I basically had to go start from scratch and go from there." So we shall see. But I will keep going on. And again, if you don't want to hear about it, we won't be talking about it that much on the radio, but I will be blasting them on social media from now until it gets resolved and maybe beyond. So there you have it. That does it for that. We will come back. We'll get back on the Jags on the other side. We'll hear more from Gus Bradley coming up. Let's see what we got here on the injury report. This is according to Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter. For the Jags, Brian Walters is out this week, and players listed as questionable include Gibson, Brown, Hearns, and Smith. So that's where we're at. Tashaun Gibson and Allen Hearns are guys you definitely need to keep an eye out for, whether they're not going to be available to go this weekend. Could be a bigger role for Marquise Lee. Saw they signed Tony Washington to the practice squad yesterday again. So who knows? Before the season's over, maybe he's back up on the active roster as well. All right, we'll take a time out here. More Jaguars Today to come, live at Everbank with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today, 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
I really look for us offensively, defensively, special teams. I felt like we played together as a team with all units kind of in sync, and I think that we need to take another step this week. And, you know, that's really, really what the team's focus is.
That's Gus Bradley right there talking about the focus of the Jags. Stay in sync. Continue to build on what they had last week. I know, look, I guarantee you, how many eyes just rolled when I say continue to build on? I mean, I get it. I get all the phrases and the platitudes and all the things you've heard, and you're tired of them all. I'm sure, at least most of you are, and I understand that. We're just reporting and passing along what he said. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to build on what they did, but you've just heard it so many times coming out of losing efforts, and you wonder when are those bricks finally going to come together to form a structure that we recognize?
Yeah, all those turnovers last week, it really served as an example to these guys that they can't do that and win a football game.
Don't turn it over four times, please.
What? Like, what kind of lesson is that that you even need to learn? I get the rhetoric has been this is a team that has to learn how to win, and that has felt tired to me for a while now, but in 2016, that's miserable. I mean, you're talking year four. You got a bunch of guys on this team that they're relying on that are going into their third years, basically, in this league. I mean, come on. Learn how to win? Screw that. Win.
I mean, all these guys, what is
they all came from winning programs. They knew how to win three years ago.
Right. Do you know how to play defense? I mean, you do the things that lead you to winning, right? It's not like at the end you're like, okay, we're up seven, but now what do we do to win? No, you hold the lead. That's what you do, and you will win if you – do those just the football things. I get, you know, maybe there's a mental thing that comes in when you've been in a lot of late game situations and it hasn't gone your way that you're thinking what's going to go wrong here, right? You get that. But that to me is not, I guess maybe, I don't think of that as not knowing how to win. I think of that as maybe just psychologically psyching yourself out a little bit.
I can see where in the NFL game, it's so much faster than the college game is anyway, and it's played on such a higher level with the physicality, the speed, everything that goes on. And yeah, when games get close to the end and you can see the adrenaline rush for all these guys on the field that they're in a close football game, so yeah, everything does move a little bit faster in a game that's already incredibly fast. I get that kind of stuff goes on. Year three, for a lot of these guys, that shouldn't be an issue anymore.
Right.
Make the plays.
Make some plays.
It ought to have slowed down enough for you at this point that's no longer a talking point at all.
This one on Twitter, quickly before we get back to Gus, from @BrockGoBlue. He's a loyal listener. Says, "I'm not a fan of everyone saying to take advantage of my mistakes and to confuse me. #BrockLivesMatter. It's a different Brock we're talking about, BrockGoBlue. We are trying to confuse Mr. Osweiler, or continued to confuse Osweiler. Here was Gus Bradley yesterday talking about the Houston Texan quarterback.
People aren't patient when it comes to the quarterback. When you put that kind of money into a quarterback and bring him in, the expectations grow. And, you know, I think he's a guy that they have great faith in. Just listen to their conversations and to see it on tape. You see him make some great throws. And, you know, everybody wants more. I'm sure their coaching staff does this as well. But, you know, we just know that, you know, they'll be patient with him and he can't have a big game. Let's not have him have a big game on Sunday against us. So, you know, we're going the game recognizing the threats and the ability he has.
We've talked about the home road splits this year for Brock Osweiler and how different this football team has been at home versus being on the road. They're 5-0 at home, 0-3 on the road. But when you really look at the numbers, I mean, it is jarring what he's been on the road. At home, they're 5-0. As we said, he's completing 64% of his passes. On the road, just 52%. So he's 12 points worse in percentage passing on the road versus at home. 8 touchdowns versus 7 interceptions at home. That's not great compared to 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions on the road. Just 1 touchdown in 3 games on the road for him this year. Yards per attempt, he's averaging almost 7 yards an attempt at home. That's still not a great number.
No.
4.12. On the road.
That's per attempt. It's not per completion. That's
4 yards an attempt on the road to this point this year. His yards per game is 70 yards lower on the road versus it is at home, and that's while he's attempting 7 more passes per game on the road than he is at home. I mean, it is pathetic.
Well, you asked the question, though, yesterday. Denver, Minnesota, New England. Those are your road games. So I would imagine there's some of that is the cause of some of that.
But we talked a moment ago about a young team trying to learn how to finish, and maybe there is something to, well, we haven't had success in this situation. Look, he's 0-3, and he's getting his brains beat out on the road. So it feels like a guy that if you did take an early lead on him on Sunday, maybe a little bit of that man, I'm just really bad on the road. It starts to creep into his head a little bit. Now you have to get ahead of him to make him feel that.
Right.
Which we'll see if the Jaguars can do it. But maybe it's in there somewhere. Another guy that just hasn't been able to get on track really all year. He's going to have an okay season still if he stays on the same kind of pace he's at. Right around 1,000 yards, probably 8 to 10 touchdowns when everything is said and done. But DeAndre Hopkins looked like an emerging superstar last year. Really doesn't look like that this year. Gus talked a little bit about the wide receiver.
He can really change the outcome of a game. He can make big plays for you. He can make explosive plays. And he's, you know, not only you can have awareness of where he is, but that's not enough. You know, I think that's where you see some teams on tape. You know, they double coverage him, they bracket coverage. You know, they're doing a wide variety of things to try to take him out of the game because he is such a big threat for him. And, but it's still difficult. He's got, you know, great talent and they find ways to get him the ball.
They haven't done it this year.
No.
Not to that degree. I mean, you know, he's been, you know, I look at it often from a fantasy standpoint, Tony. So I, you know, looking at the numbers, DeAndre Hopkins, to put it in that context, is kind of a top 15 selection this year in fantasy leagues, somewhere around that range, higher in some. I've seen him go as high as like 6th overall based on his track record because you felt like it didn't matter who the quarterback was. Well, clearly, I'm not saying Osweiler is worse than some of the other guys that they've run out there in recent years, but they're not clicking. They're just not mentally clicking.
No.
And you know, they're not seeing it the same way, and so Osweiler's not forcing it to him. CJ Fedorowicz has come on at tight end. Will Fuller started the season pretty hot. He's cooled off a little bit, but for the most part, Houston's winning. You know, they're winning their games at home. They are in first place, so I guess the feeling they have is going to be, well, if it's working, we'd like it to work better with DeAndre Hopkins, but you know, we're not going to make it all about getting the ball to him. Do you think Jalen Ramsey shadows DeAndre Hopkins, or do you think DeAndre Hopkins is a big enough threat at this point in time? I'm sure DeAndre Hopkins is going to be scanning the defense looking for Devon House. I don't think you're going to get that DeAndre this time around.
Sure. I think for the most part, yeah. I think Ramsey is going to get Hopkins, yeah.
And then we'll see what they do with you know, Gibson, hopefully, you know, his questionable is on the more probable side of questionable because, you know, you'd like to see then Amukamara get some safety help over the top if Will Fuller is the guy getting some shots taken to him down the field.
Just so. The numbers, like, getting ready for this game, the numbers just, they're not a 5-3 team. Like, nothing about them says 5-3. They don't stop the run. They're 30th in the NFL in scoring offense. 30th. They're scoring 17 points a game. And they're 5-3 because they just get to eat in the South.
Yeah.
And
so far,
if that continues on Sunday, then they'll be 6-3 and potentially have a 2-game lead having won their first road game of the year and scoring around 17 points a game.
Don't let that happen. Gus Bradley talking about what has been working so far for the Texans defense.
They do a good job up front. They get great pressure. When you look at it in the secondary and the back end, when they're doing very good against the pass, you look right away to the front. Is it because their front is getting great pressure? And they do. But their back end is playing really good tight coverage. So I think it's a combination of both. You talk about rush and coverage. You know, for us, we're doing pretty good against the pass, but we're not getting a lot of sacks. And that's when you look at teams and say, how are they doing it? So you know both in the front end and the back end, they're playing at a high level right now. They're working really well together.
Well, for the Jaguars, it means the back end's working in the front end. If they catch up, maybe we'll see some turnovers at some point in time if they start getting any kind of significant pressure. Gus Bradley did talk a little bit last night on the Gus Bradley Show, joined by Jeff Loggeman here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. He was asked about who has surprised with this Jaguars team to this point this year.
I think Jonathan Cyprian, you know, is playing pretty well. I think the move to get him closer to the line of scrimmage has been a great move for him. I think guys like Telvin and Puz, you know, Puz, you say, well, Puz, no, that's, but look at the year he's had. But I think probably overall, when you look at a guy like Marquise Lee,
yeah,
you know, he's a guy that I think people didn't know what he was going to provide, how he's going to come back. I mean, he was the albino tiger. You know, a lot of people didn't know what he could provide. And I'm just really happy for him. I think for him, he's in a good place right now. I think he competes his tail off, not only in practice, but in games. So I think overall, you know, I'm very pleased where he's at.
Look, I think he's still the albino tiger, Tony. I think he's just moved further away from the endangered list, right? Right? It's not as rare a sighting anymore.
We're just seeing him a lot more.
Yes, and we're happy about that. I'm never let go of that nickname if you're Marquise Lee.
The albino tiger.
One. That's right. Is that Greg Olsen's greatest lasting legacy to the Jacksonville Jaguar organization?
Could be.
I'm going to say it's up there. It's in the top couple, but I still think 35 touchdowns, 4,400 yards for season best marks for a Jaguar quarterback probably tops the list. Close second, though, albino tiger. All right, final one here for Gus Bradley. Just talking about the importance of this game this weekend.
It's an important game for us in many ways. Important because it's at home. It's an AFC South divisional opponent. We're 1-1 right now, have a chance to go to 2-1 in our division. And they're coming into our house. You know, so a lot of cool things could take place here this weekend.
All right, by the way, yesterday.
Cool things.
Cool things being a win. There's only one cool thing that could take place. I mean, that win would result in what he said, filling in a lot of boxes, checking a lot of boxes. So I understand the point Gus is making. But as he said last week, Tony, and what I thought was maybe the best he's been in the post game, at least in recent memory, is, you know, we're not here to collect good things. We're here to collect wins. I'm paraphrasing and I'm doing it badly, but it's not enough to. You know, just check some boxes on, hey, we did this well, we did that well. That's not the goal. The goal is to win football games, and he knows that. By the way, we ran the fan feedback spotlight asking folks yesterday whether or not if they already had a ticket they were planning on going. I got to say, for the most part, I continue to get responses all the way through this morning on that, and overwhelmingly, people said, yeah. There was a lot of, hey, man, I'm a Jag fan, do or die. It doesn't matter.
Like, sure.
I get it. If you had enough, whatever. I would ask, hope that you would let somebody else who doesn't have access to tickets maybe go or can't afford tickets go in your place. But I also understand the desire to maybe show your protest through some empty seats that you want some change to be affected. So I'm not going to knock you, whatever you decide to do as Jaguar fans out there. I just hope the ones who do show up and the ones who are watching at home hoping that they win are rewarded with a victory with the Jags taking on the Texans this weekend. We'll take a look at some of your keys to victory as you've submitted them this morning. That's our Friday tradition here with the Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Oh, yeah, and as a postscript to all the Verizon stuff, I will give you the final tally of the poll we ran yesterday about which carrier I should switch to. So I appreciate everybody giving me advice on that as well and telling me the good and the bad about the different cell companies that they have service with. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today marching through the 11 o'clock hour on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tagger here at 1010XL. Want to wish a very happy Veterans Day from a guy that had a brother, a father, and two uncles in the military. Thank you for everything you do, and have a happy Veterans Day.
God bless the USA.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
To answer your question, Bert, I don't know. Bert's wearing a South Carolina sweatshirt and a picture he texted us. He said, why do people keep saying go Cox today when they pass me? I don't know, Bert. I have no idea. Another one, weird, the radio signal cut out a couple of times during Mike's speech. This is not technical difficulties. I'm not going to name him, but operator error. Not Tyler Devitt. It has nothing to do with Tyler. He produces a fine show.
I promise I was not trying to censor you at all, Mike.
Thank you. Did are Verizon padding your pockets this week or what, man?
No comment.
somebody threw the wrong switch. Honestly, you know, you hear these things, you think it's going to be some big, I don't know, some kind of crazy technical snafu. Nah, somebody hit the wrong button, apparently.
Button.
It's dangerous when there's just one button you can push that can knock us off.
We should label like these that. Things.
Maybe. Hey, what's this? Okay. Hey, a couple of things before we get into the fan feedback spotlight. I want to remind you, Paul Fraze running the Seattle Marathon, former Jaguar, on November 27th, and he's looking for pledges or donations as he's doing it to fight myotubular myopathy, which his son Joshua was afflicted with, and he fought bravely for 16 years, which is about 15.9 years longer than his diagnosis. I mean, this kid was as tough as nails, and his legacy will be hopefully to inspire Paul and his family and others to wipe out this disease, which impacts a lot of kids out there, and you know, they're getting close to eradicating this, but they still need our support. And so do what you can. Go to pleasedonate.org. And you can also check out Paul's story if you go to the Jaguars Today Facebook page. We've had that pinned, that PSA, to the top of the page for quite a while now. A poll update from yesterday, Tony. I appreciate the 365 votes we got. That's one for every day. I vow to wage my campaign unless I get satisfaction from the folks at Verizon. The question, framed very unbiasedly, since it is a given that Verizon sucks and they rip off their customers, which carrier should I drop them for? And the choices were Sprint, T-Mobile, AT&T, or other. And we did get some others. Some people said Cricket Wireless. Some people said Ting. There are some different ones out there. I'll probably boil it down to the big three. And the voting went as such. AT&T led the way with 38%. Mm-hmm. T-Mobile got 32%, and Sprint got 25%. So there's some believers in all of those out there. I will, trust me, I made it clear to the folks at Verizon that no matter if you give me my goal of not owing you a penny, you're not retaining me as a customer. There is nothing you could do. And as I said that the last time, I thought $1 million would do it. You could definitely buy me for $1 million. So I'll be honest with you. If they wanted to say, you'll be our new spokesman for $1 million, I'd probably cave, and you could all hate me. But it ain't happening. We know that, right? If we did that, I'd give away at least $1,000 of that to dissatisfied Verizon customers.
Nice.
So just think what you could do with $1 million, Verizon. Anyway, there you have it. Won't belabor it anymore for today, at least for today.
Just imagining that commercial.
I do have
to say, I called and complained for a week, and they made me the spokesman.
Right, exactly. And now I'm so happy I have to compromise my integrity.
Now it doesn't matter how much they charge me. They're paying me more than they charge.
Hey, look, other companies, if you want angry man spokesman, right, that doesn't really necessarily want to talk about how great your product is, wants to talk about how bad your competitors is, I can do angry man in my sleep, brother. Mm-hmm. I can roll out of bed on New Year's morning and do Angry Man. I can do it any time from New Year's morning all the way through December 31st and twice on Sundays. All right. Oh my goodness. Look at that. Look who's calling.
Is it really?
Hey, look who's calling. They're calling me right now. I'm on the air, Verizon customer service. I should take this right now. And you could experience
so ridiculous.
Angry Man, but you probably heard that enough in the past. All right, Tony, fan feedback spotlight today. I got to highlight this one from Ms. Nika. who's one of my top tens on Twitter, who said she's just going for the booze and food this week. That's a rock on.
It'll still be there.
Yep, it will.
Yeah, 2-6, you can still drink plenty of booze and enjoy the food.
Absolutely.
At the tailgate. No doubt about it. From David, no turnovers, no penalties, run the ball effectively, his three keys for this weekend against Houston. From Senior Fuentes, Verizon takes care of MD, fans boo all game, and turnover-free football.
Wait a minute, that would have been under the bold predictions we did earlier this week.
Right. From Positive Jags fan, force a turnover, Blake don't turn it over, and pray for a miracle. So he's just asking for one turnover. That's all he's asking for. From Irish Jaguar, confuse Osweiler, catch the balls that hit your hands, and pray. From Brian, turnovers, turnovers. Oh, did I mention turnovers? And from Jarrell, exploit Watt's absence, exploit Osweiler's presence, and get a turnover or two or three. He's a little more selfish about it. From Daniel, Blake has to play better. Blake must play better. Blake has to do his job. From Derek, sweep the corners, move the moon, do great job. And from Dalton, roll Bortles out, run Ivory up the middle, and don't give it to the other team in the process.
I got a few here on the Facebook page on Jaguars Today on Facebook. Catherine said, food poisoning for the entire Texans team. Where are they staying? No picks. I'm kidding, Texans team. Am I? Yes, I am. No picks in the red zone, and perhaps receivers could, you know, catch the ball a little more. All right, Catherine. Let's go with Joe, who said, run the ball, don't turn the ball over, and make their quarterback try and beat you. In other words, put it on Osweiler's shoulders to win a game and not just manage a victory. Christopher said, donate to former Jaguar Paul Frazee's marathon cause because times three and watch the Jags reap the blessings. That's a very good one, Christopher. I appreciate
that.
PleaseDonate.org. That's excellent, right? We're trying to build up a little good karma here for the Jags here. Skyler said, establish a run. Defensively, in other words, I suppose, shut
stop
it down,
okay.
Right? Play like you did versus Kansas City, I assume minus the turnovers, and play four quarters, not just the last two. That's a good one. Hashtag support our veterans. Good call on that, Skylar. Again, we talked about it a lot early in the program. Happy Veterans Day to all you folks out there, military personnel who served honorably past and present, and the ones getting ready to as well. Andrej said win, win, win. And Tony wrapped it up with show up, play hard, don't quit. All right. I tell my son that every time we go out for soccer for one of his 12-year-old matches. The fall season is wrapped up out there. And let me just tell you this. My kid's not going to be a professional athlete.
Oh, no?
No, he's not going to be a professional athlete.
Breaking his heart that he's not going to be a pro athlete?
I think he likes playing soccer. At least he tells me he does. I want him to play something to stay active and everything.
Sure.
And I frankly don't care if he's a professional
athlete.
It's great
for developing social skills.
It's good for a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's fantastic for a lot of things. You know, it keeps you in shape, competitiveness or competition, all those
good
things.
By the way, speaking of soccer,
yes.
Again, it's a football show, so we weren't going to get into this.
You can do your thing.
I would not be, like, if we weren't doing the TV show right now, I wouldn't be wearing the shirt I'm wearing. We got to go record the show.
You'd have your kit on?
Oh, I'd have the kit on. It's USA Mexico tonight in a World Cup qualifier.
Oh, well, where is it being played?
Columbus, Ohio.
That's the only place we play them anymore. More, right?
That's right, Dos Acero. This is a big one. I mean, as we start this next round of qualifying to start it up against Mexico, this
are they
going to
be able to get back out? Will the wall be up by then?
I don't think so.
Okay,
I don't think so.
I just was worried about the travel plans.
I think we still got at least 71 days until we have the wall.
We have time.
Yeah.
All right, so that's that's well scheduled then.
Go kick their butts,
national
USA.
Team. Look, I don't not root for them. This is a qualifier though. This one counts.
This is legit.
Okay,
yeah.
Well then, you know what? Friday night. You know what I've been watching, by the way, on Netflix, now that we've really gone off the rails here, mm-hmm. We're talking about nothing related to the Jags. You ever see Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Yeah, I watched the first
season.
That
show is hilarious, bro. And it's not the first time I'd watch it, but last night I didn't have access to NFL Network because I don't have NFL Network because, you know, I'm at the games on Sunday, mm-hmm. and only certain games on Thursday night are only on NFL Network. And I've got that handy NFL mobile package through my cell carrier.
Used to.
Oh, yeah. Well, I still do, but my data's turned off. So... I'm just watching the updating box score. So we were like, what's on Thursday? I don't know. Football's usually on. I wasn't going to watch Duke, North Carolina, although I took a peek at Trubisky. It was a good game. I saw the end with Duke winning it. We watched maybe three or four episodes of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt last night, all set up for season two as well. What a hilarious show that is. If you have Netflix, that's the only place. It's a Netflix exclusive.
It
is such a clever. If you like 30 Rock, I think you would like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
No doubt.
It's not exactly the same. Tina Fey featured pretty heavily, though, in season number one. So there you have it. Just more useless information that you tune into Jaguars Today for, you because you know you can count on us for the useless. All right. We also have the important stuff. Happy Veterans Day. Please donate.org to support Paul Fraze as he runs the Seattle Marathon to wipe out myotubular myopathy. And hopefully we will be able to arrange him to join us in here next week. Verizon still sucks, at least as of now. I'll be interested to see if they left me a message here a few minutes ago as they once again tried to call me in the window where I told them I was unavailable. That may be their plan right now. Tony, prediction, what do you got? Jags, Houston.
Honestly, I think the Jags may win a close one this week. I think Osweiler really is just kind of bleh. I think seeing them stop the run as effectively as they did last week, I think they can maybe not to the same level, but enough to slop it up against this Houston team and make some plays late in this game. I think it's going to be kind of an ugly, kind of dull game, but in the end, 16-14, I'll take it.
All right, I'm going to go, because you've now enthused me, okay? And I think for a new meme or a T-shirt, I want to see Jaguar football. Let's slop it up, okay? that's what I want to see now. I'll go 24-23. I'll go a high-scoring slop fest for the hometown Jags. I've got no say on it. Maybe I should pick him to lose. I'm obviously picking with my heart here. So go Jags. You know, get this one this week. It's all you can do. And hope you have a good time if you do decide to show up for the game. And hope you get what you're looking for when you come out here. And again, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with my tickets. I appreciate everybody showing interest in them. I know you want to go. Just hit me up on follow me on social media if you don't already, at MD_1010XL. If I decide to do something through there, you'll know about it probably later on tonight, and we'll figure out a way we can hook up and get you those tickets. Got some decent ones. And my wife's not going to use them, so I'm going to make sure that somebody gets to go. All right, that does it for us for Jaguars Today. We appreciate all of you tuning in all week long. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for all our various guests and hosts throughout the week, thanks again to Paul Fraze for joining us. Please donate.org. That does it for us. Happy Veterans Day. The Midday Chalk is next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.